Welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Broadcasting for the Busy Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rex Road. Robbie Stanley sick again today. He is on the mend. He is getting better. We have positive reports. Meanwhile, we have positive reports. We don't have positive PK. We have regular PK here in the studio with us. Paul Kaharski filling in for Robbie Stanley today. Nick Keyser producing. PK.
Greetings. Right?
You
good
look
morning,
like you got something Nashville? To say. Something you want to say,
no,
man.
No, I want to praise the healing of your head.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a miracle.
Well, I mean,
how old is that wound?
So let's see. It happened Monday, right? Yeah, happened Monday.
I showed you guys healing.
Yeah, it's matted down with a whole bunch of triple antibiotic right now.
Yeah.
So you can't.
But
you
it's
know.
Also at a good place in your hairline.
Yeah.
So
hopefully,
to speak.
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm a little worried about like hair not growing in certain spots, you know, so it's going to be all spotty up there now, but we'll figure it out.
I'm also
if I have to do the comb over, I'll do the comb over.
Angered by my memory because I had a perfect thing for the rant driving in and I was like I did again this thing where it's like there's no way you'll forget that and I've forgotten it.
It'll come to you.
It was a very short and tight complaint. So hopefully it will come to me. I was listening to the radio show that precedes us. And it sparked something.
Oh, unsportsmanlike?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe it'll come back.
So they pissed you off in some way.
No, they brought my attention to something.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we have a lot to talk about today, of course. We have a lot to react to because the Tennessee Titans introduced Mike Borgonzi. And I'm very excited to hear Paul Kaharski talk about Mike Borgonzi.
At Boston,
you know,
accent.
Huh?
At Boston, hey, he's a very nice guy. I'm looking forward to working with him. I did talk to him a little bit before. A bunch of us. He was actually like it was odd that they didn't like not odd bad. He was in the press conference room for a good while before the press conference began, and so many of us had a second to talk to him. And he went to Brown. And my brother went to Brown.
Okay.
And
Brown and Columbia, big rivals.
I didn't get into Brown. So this was my entry talking to him, and he was asking me what year my brother was. My brother's way older than he is, but this was my entree, conversational entree.
Are you telling me that Columbia was your safety?
No, I had a – your wife will kill me. She's not listening, right? She's in Paris.
Yeah.
No, my family had a weird thing. My sister went to Princeton on a whim. Like, my sister wasn't intending to go to college. She was a dancer, and she was dancing professionally. But she applied to Rutgers and Princeton when she moved to New Jersey just on a whim, and she got into Princeton and ended up going to Princeton. Then my brother wanted to go to Princeton and didn't get in and went to Brown. Then I kind of wanted to go to Brown and didn't get in and went to Columbia.
Wow. Okay. Why would my wife? Why? Because she thinks
your
she
wife
like
thinks I talk
bragging
too much
about your Ivy League education. Yeah. Well, so you and Borgonzi are kind of rivals, though, right? Brown and Columbia had some good football. He was an all Ivy League fullback like 3 years.
Brown and Columbia are like completely opposite schools. You go to Brown and there are like no courses you have to take, and you shape your whole curriculum. And you go to Columbia and like there are a whole bunch of core curriculum classes that you must. Everybody that goes to Columbia, like my dad went and graduated in 1952, and I graduated in 1991, and we took a lot of the same classes.
Wow.
Like, you have to take them. They're in perpetuity.
So you're saying Brown's like the hippie school of the Ivy League? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit.
Hey, man, let's just have some philosophy.
A little bit.
Like sit it in the lawn.
My brother majored in something called semiotics. Go look that up.
Semiotics?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But again, when I think of Columbia, I think of the Ghostbusters. You know, I think of like parapsychology too.
Well, they were getting it done.
Yeah, sure.
Nice guy, but the Boston accent
is going to be great.
Yeah, it's
he's like Mayor Quimby.
I mean,
we got to get ourselves some wide receivers over here.
I mean, as I get to know him, I'll give him a hard time. But he comes in and says, you know, I'm a guy with a Boston accent who loves country music. You don't have to pander to the country music people right away. Does he love country music? We'll find out. But a guy from Boston, you know, by nature, is not going to love country music.
I don't know, man. He's
going to love, Joe, Boston more than a feeling. Sorts of the Aerosmith.
Aerosmith, the Cars. Cars is a great Boston band. Pixies is actually the greatest band ever in Boston history. So, I don't know. I think it was V Love, I think, was the one who tweeted this. Like, Oh,
about,
yeah.
About credit V-Love. V-Love's turned into a putz.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, well, that's your opinion, man. So I like him still. And I think it was him who tweeted, like, oh, yeah, some dude from Boston who likes country music. Yeah, there aren't a million of those guys already on Broadway. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. I thought that
I'm
was a pretty funny
tweet.
I'm
surprised he's listening to you as opposed to reruns of Clay. Well, he's a Clay slurper.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't think that was a listening to us thing. He was listening to the presser.
Oh.
Right?
I'm surprised he turned away from Clay for that.
Oh, is he a big Clay guy?
Yeah.
I did not realize that. Well, okay. I don't think you're keeping up with him. I don't think that's true. Based on some things I've seen.
He wrote Clay a love letter when he left the zone that I remember Clay posting.
Interesting. Yeah, well, a lot of history there. Let's not get into Clay today. So your overall, we have a lot to get into, a lot of different angles of this that I want to get into. Actually, before we get to your reaction, let's go ahead and give the people some Borgonzi. Here's Borgonzi on his vision.
So who am I? What are my beliefs and vision for this organization? First off, I'm a little bit of an abnormality. I'm a Northeast guy with a funny Boston accent that loves country music. I'm a proud husband and father that believes in the power of love and connection. I have a passion for the game of football. I have a passion for people. I have a passion for doing things the right way through the values of character, connection, commitment, and communication. The identity of my leadership will be connected, it will be disciplined, and it will be detailed. I believe in what I like to call an us culture. Unity over self in everything that we do. We will put the team above individual agendas and make the best decisions for the Titans. I believe in the power of alignment and teamwork throughout the entire organization, where ownership, management, coaching, and scouting are all rowing in the same direction. If it's not, it simply won't work. My vision as a team builder is to draft and develop. We want to build a foundation of homegrown talent and reward those players that meet our standards. We will be relentless in our pursuit of building competition throughout the roster, whether that's the draft, free agency, waiver claims, or trades. And I think it's imperative that we build the right 53 on this roster as well, and not just collect talent. We need the right mixture of talent and character in order to build a championship caliber team. We want a big physical team in the trenches that is fast and violent on the football field. We want players that love the game of football, that are smart, that are tough, that are dependable, and they believe in unity.
Smart, tough, dependable. I think that's exactly the three-word Vrabel, right? Is that not the three-word Vrabel?
There's some
smart,
Vrabel,
tough, dependable?
There's some Vrabel overlap. There's also some Callahan overlap. He used the word relentless, which is one of Callahan's two top words.
What's the other one?
Resilient.
Resilient, relentless. He likes the alliteration.
They're going to be rowing together up to Charles.
PJ,
up
hello,
to
PJ
Charles,
Fleck.
They're going to be rowing. But look, I mean, these are all buzzwords. This part of the press conference, the introducing the new GM, it goes the same way all the time, unless you hire a stinker. You know, a new coach or new GM, unless it's Adam Gase with his eyes glaring out and waving side to side, it's almost always good. If the guy has a presence about him and can speak of a vision, it's good. And he was good. He checked the box. Good start. Solid answers, solid stance. He went on to talk. I thought one of the more interesting things, was kind of about the kind of free agents they'll look to bring. And I think Titans fans should expect guys like Sebastian Joseph Day to be the plug free agents on this team. Maybe one big fish. You know, I think, Trey Smith is somebody everybody will have an eye on. But other than that, he mentioned, the Chiefs were, I think, 2-14 in 2012. And then in 2013, they made their big jump to 11-5. And he mentioned specifically Mike DeVito, a defensive end, and Anthony Fasano,
who
we got to know here
Titans
a couple
legend.
Years later, as guys who came in and, were lower-ranking players, but who made solid contributions and who helped change a culture. The Titans will be looking for guys like that now. And those are guys that fans tend to love. Role players who are culture setters.
Yeah. I think they love star players who help you win games more. But yes, I know what you're saying.
These are the, guys who hold things together.
Yeah. I appreciate, as someone who botches the English language daily here, I appreciate Abnomaly.
Yeah.
And Whirlwind, too, when he started. It was a whirlwind.
Abnomaly, he was clearly going for anomaly.
Well, but sort of like anomaly and abnormality combined,
yes.
Perhaps? Yes.
Yeah.
But, a lot of what he said was typical stuff.
Yeah.
I thought he handled it well.
Fans looking to bash public speaking are clearly going after Brinker, whose opening statement, you know, he was off paper.
Well, he was reading it. Well,
he was
trying to pausing a lot.
Yeah, he was trying to look up to not read it, and then he got tied up because he needed to refer to the paper.
So people are hammering him for that.
He got bashed pretty good.
Yeah.
For that.
Well, I mean, he's the Brinker part is maybe what I want to talk more about today, because you were at the session with him before this, which I've read the entire transcript and, you know, looked like it was a pretty lively, interesting conversation. It's one of those things where I see the answers and I'm like, I bet you that was, you know.
Yeah, they don't transcribe the questions.
Yeah,
we can put it that way.
The,
so Joe's interpreting the questions. I could tell you more about the questions.
Yeah.
But I thought, and we as a press corps discussed it when we came back to the room of the 35 minutes, we did a pretty thorough job of covering, everything. Like,
yeah.
Why not you? When
right.
You're
why
talking
Rand,
about Rand,
and why not you?
Being gone, why not you?
Yeah.
Why didn't you want the GM job when this is the primary football executive? Was one of my big ones about Amy not talking and hiding and being what appears to be a front runner.
And we'll get into that too. I do want to, and we'll definitely get into the Brinker. I do have one personnel related takeaway from yesterday, and I wonder if you agree with me on this as in terms of direction. We'll get to that. And hit us up on the text line and phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex, 1025-1063.
I guess I just wonder, can you clarify a little bit your sort of policy on being more selective in free agency than perhaps the team was?
You know, like I said, I think, you know, we're going to be a draft and develop team, but we're certainly going to, you know, have our hand in free agency at some points, but you have to be disciplined and smart with it. You know, I think it's important to, like, fill for role players, you know, and guys that are locker room, good locker room guys. And when you have a young team, those are the type of guys you need. And like I talked about before, like, that's what we did in Kansas City when we weren't a very good football team. We brought in some tough veteran, smart guys that could really change the room. Guys like Anthony Fasano and Mike DeVito. So, you know, I think those are the things we're probably going to be looking at.
Mike Borgonzi there. A nice question from Johnny G, John Glennon, about free agency.
No Trey Avery questions.
No Trey Avery questions, although maybe the
in time.
You know, well, yeah, he's going to have to evaluate him and his future with the Titans. But, you know, interesting point there about the role players, the Chiefs, helping turn them around. I'd also say Alex Smith helped turn them around, right? I mean, the locker room guys are important. Everybody would agree with that in this game.
You
also have to have those frontline guys.
Worst quarterback
difference-making
he had
players.
Was Matt Castle. It was better than any scenario the Titans have right now.
Who, of course, came over in the Vrabel trade. All right, is this my computer? That's your computer? Okay. So that kind of leads into one of my big thoughts from yesterday, which was, and it came first with the Brinker discussion with you guys, non-audio, non-video, which is still weird. But, I don't know, at least it was a good conversation there. He talked about, remind me the exact parameters here, he wants to have
ideal world, 30 picks.
30 picks.
12 in the top 100 over the next 3 years. Now, let me tell you what they have. They have 8 picks in the top 100 in the next 3 years right now and 23 picks. So he's looking for 7 additional picks with 4 of them.
4 of them in the top 100.
100.
That's ambitious. So
very ambitious.
And you posed that again to Borgonzi in the main press conference. And his first thing was, it's possible.
It's possible. He had a long pause. He said, it's possible. We just have to have discipline in the draft as we're going through the process. Draft picks are our biggest form of currency. So when there are opportunities to trade back and collect more picks, we're going to do that. That's always the goal, to get as many picks in the top 100 as you can.
Which is something they haven't done. They did not do under Rand's trade back. They traded up. Now, I would still, even if they're able to successfully trade back multiple times, I look at that number, and my first takeaway was, okay, so they want to trade one. They want to trade the first pick.
Well, he also said, Brinker, we're not going to pass on a generational talent. So right. If they see a generational talent there, that takes priority. Now, who is a generational talent in this draft? Maybe Travis
Hunter. I think there's one guy who the consensus would be could be a generational talent. I don't think anybody thinks either of the top two quarterbacks would fall into that category. So generational, do we want to have this with the draft picks? Also, if there's a generational talent, okay. So it sounds like if we can't trade one, we'll take Travis Hunter. I mean, that's, you know.
And can you get the generational talent conceivably at two or three? I think there's a scenario where you can't because other teams are quarterback desperate and don't behave the same way you're intending.
Best case is you've dropped back a little. You get
the generational talent,
and you also add to your draft capital, right? So that's the ideal scenario. That was one big thing that came out. Look, I'll be honest with you, Paul. I thought that he did well. Obviously, he comes from a winning organization. Seems like a likable guy and smart guy and all that stuff. And great. I mean, most of the conversation in that main presser was just absolutely. You can just replay that around the league. I really, really freaking hope, because I saw the Bears did this crap, that we do not get a Mike Borgonzi walking
into Titans. I think it's already passed. The opportunity for it, I hope, is already passed. So we didn't see the plane land, and we didn't see that ovation, and hopefully they've learned from that. And they're showing discipline, the sort of discipline that he's urging.
Yeah, maybe we're into a new era. Because, again, this is not new. Again, you go back to one of my favorite social media turns from an account ever was 7 years ago. That's our coach, Mike Mulaki, in your face! And then, a week later, new era, Mike Vrabel! Like, bro hug with J-Rob coming off the plane. I mean, it's like, let's just leave that stuff. Everybody wants to do this. These team accounts want to all do this stuff. This organization needs to not do that stuff.
Clicks are not the most important currency. Draft picks are the most important currency.
Yes. So, what else from this whole thing? Because, again, I enjoyed listening to him. I thought he said the right things. But I just didn't have a lot. I did not have a lot from the main press conference that really raised my eyebrows or made me draw strong conclusion on anything. What else did you find?
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple other things. Organizational impatience, considering the recent firings. What makes this place attractive, considering that they're firing people at a regular rate. And Borgonzi said, I know the urgency to win in this league, no matter where you are. So he's not making a mistake on that. And I had the same conversation with Brinker in the conversation with Brinker about his job security. I asked him about the idea of him being the most protected person in the organization, and I still kind of feel like he is that.
He strongly disagreed with you on that.
Yeah, he strongly disagreed with that. I'm trying to find
paraphrase, he said, basically, I couldn't disagree more. I'm more out front than anybody.
Yeah. But I still think, he's got the ability to say, I think we all agree Callahan's fingerprints are on this the most. The most closely connected to the win-loss record, and he's already got a three-win season. And then, while Brinker has final say and all of that, he's going to let his guy operate, and his guy operating is going to be most directly connected, it seems like, to the picks and the free agency strategy, and he'll be able to say, I let him cook, so to speak, and he's most in with Amy. Now we know that's changed, but it seems like it's different now in that she's really taken herself out of it and she's letting him run things. I don't know. I think he's got some insulation here and some time. He sold her on patience, and he's running football now in a way that other people haven't, with some distance from her. So I don't know. Maybe he's right. I think most of us, though, feel like Chad Brinker's in a pretty safe spot right now.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but, I mean, it's like with Amy and a Strunk, I just don't
know.
You
never know.
Yeah, I mean, she could also look at it like, well, you'd set this whole thing up, and so, you know, I mean, I could see that going either way. We do have some callers.
I know you've got, and we'll get to this. She wasn't there, so it could say one of two things.
Yeah, we will get to that. But let's go to Ed in Jersey on the phone line driven by WilsonCunningham.com. Ed, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. So he used the term character a lot yesterday. And KC has made a living, you know, drafting red flag guys that other people didn't want because of it. So should we take that as face value? Or do you think he's meaning something else by character, like character on the field? I just wondering your thoughts on that.
Thanks for the call.
That's an excellent question. That
one guy comes to mind. Who else are we forget? Who am I forgetting? I mean, Tyreek Hill is certainly comes to mind there. But who else? I certainly could be missing someone.
Is Kareem Hunt have something?
Well, that was after the fact, though, right? I believe Kareem Hunt had a domestic thing, but that was like when he was in the league.
Yeah, but when he was in the league with them, or when he's in the league. Elsewhere,
it was not before he was with them. It was. I thought it was actually maybe between them and Cleveland.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, it's still a thing that they.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a possibility that didn't nothing. You know what I mean? There may have been nothing there, and then it happened in the league. I don't know.
Yeah.
So if anybody,
but nevertheless,
but, I mean, that's a fair point, though. Got him. That's a fair point.
No, I think it's a fair point. It's something that needs to be revisited.
And look, I mean, and let's be real on that. 32 teams, and at some point, talent's going to win. Okay, everybody talks about character. Everybody talks about locker room. Everybody talks about all that stuff. At some point, talent.
No,
got to have the talent.
I agree, but it's a fair point. There's, that when you're pushing character, sure. Your thing, and you're coming from a team that, you know, also where Andy Reid's son was allowed to do what Andy Reid's son did more than once. You know, it's a fair question.
They're all proven hypocrites at one time or another. Jared in Spring Hill next up. Jared,
morning,
how you doing?
Morning, Chief.
Hey, good morning. Joe, okay, I just do want to start off that yesterday I agreed with you 1,000%. I think you hit the trunk on the head with the point that Stillman was not bothered at all by Amy not being there. But again, as a fan, I would have liked to have at least seen her there. And I hated his take on, well, what would you have her do or what would you have her say? She's the owner. She's basically like relinquishing her power to Super Chad now. And again, the question, like, and then we always ask, well, why would a GM want this job, right? Well, it's one of 32. You own one of 32 teams. You would think that a little bit of acknowledgement and facing a little bit of music, I think it would do her a little bit better than what she's got going on. And I was impressed with Borgonzi yesterday. I feel like he was a great communicator. He spoke well, spoke a lot better than Super Chad does whenever he gets up there. So again, we'll see how it all goes, but I mean, there was no too many red flags or anything like that yesterday. So, you know, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. So PK, you were there yesterday. How would you describe like what was going on in the room? Like, was there a negative tone in the room? Was it a little bit dicey, or like kind of take us into there if you don't mind? Gentlemen, have a great day.
And you can do that after the break, and I've got some stuff to say about Amy. Thank you for the call, Jared. We come back. Robbie and Rex Show, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And we are continuing our discussion on the Titans here. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley. So Amy Adams Strunk doesn't come yesterday, which frankly, Paul, I was very surprised by. And I'd love to know if you were surprised by it. And I have a problem with it. I have a big problem with it. I don't understand. I mean, Mike Borgonzi's asked why he was excited about the job, right? Or maybe it was in his intro speech. And the first thing he said was ownership. Because, of course, the first thing everybody's going to say is ownership and the fans. You know, it doesn't matter what. That ownership has been a complete bleep show here, and 8 fans showed up for the last game of the season. I mean, you're going to say ownership and fans. And again, I'm not blaming Titans fans, by the way, but I'm just saying, like, you're going to say that? Ownership? Where's ownership? I mean, this is not a big day? I understand that you're changing these people every year, so it becomes run-of-the-mill, but these are big moments, right? And Hey, Jared's, which is why Jared lost Jared versus Joe yesterday, ridiculous. What's she going to say? That's, again, that's the same thing as, well, what are they going to say? So then just don't ask the question. Doesn't have to say anything. You don't show up?
She doesn't have to be, she doesn't have to speak. She wouldn't have spoken.
Right. She doesn't speak. She has done, and with Rand, she did an intro. She got up there, said a few words, got out of the way.
She doesn't even need to do that. And I don't think she would have done that because she's increasingly not speaking. And she's now empowered Burke Nyhill and
Chad Brinker.
Chad Brinker to do her talking, which I disagree with, but that's fine. But be in the room. Just be there. So this guy comes in, and maybe it's a part of your empowering Brinker, but to not have a presence there, any ownership presence, said Kenneth, but to not have an ownership presence in the room feels to me that you're slighting the general manager. You're not showing support at the beginning. And that felt odd to me. And I think it's one of two things. Either it's a conscious decision to have Brinker be the power, or it's this thing she does once in a while where she's got some other quote-unquote obligation, which for her could be, I'm in Waller, Texas today with some horse thing, or I don't feel like getting on the plane to Nashville. This is not my time to be in Nashville. This has happened before. I just finished being a part of these interviews, and I'm tired. Stuff like that has happened in the past.
It doesn't fly.
She didn't go to owners' meetings when she was early in the conference. Owners' meetings in Houston, Texas, down the street from Waller, because she had just finished being part of interviews. That's not NFL owner caliber behavior. Are you in it or are you not in it? If you're not in it, hand it off to Kenneth.
Well, and so that example, I mean, you know, I agree. Like, you know, that's kind of weird, and you should be at that stuff. But again, this is your franchise. This is your source of substantial income. This is your fan base, your customer base, that, again, you've gotten tremendous benefit from, and you can't show up. There's no excuse.
And let's stick with Amy for a second, because I asked, and this kind of came to me in the moment, I was going to ask about Amy's continued silence, which I think is a very relevant thing. And it came to me in the moment when I was asking Brinker in the closed session about her. I said, this organization claims to not like front runners. Isn't Amy being a front runner? When things were good, she was at tailgates whooping it up with people. And now things are bad and she's nowhere to be seen. And I imagine if you guys got good enough to win the Super Bowl, she wouldn't send her delegates up to accept the trophy and speak. She would reemerge and grab that right. sucker and speak. And here's what Chad said.
Just play your tape.
Yeah, just play my tape. I don't know if she's hold on, I'm not in the wrong
spot. Well, he got asked about her.
He said
a few times.
If she'll empower them to speak when the Titans win the Super Bowl. That's the goal. We want to. The goal is to win it, yeah, to win the whole thing. I mean, I guess I can't make any promises around, you know, how quickly it's going to turn around, the one loss record and all the things that go with that. I just can't promise you that when we finish up today, we're going to get up and go to work and build on this plan. I expect you all to hold us accountable. Why won't Amy speak? I don't have any answer for that.
Yeah. So again, you're just putting your people, and what are they supposed to say? You know, I mean, what? Again,
nobody can speak honestly about Amy. That
well, of course not. Of course not. Alex from Montreal says, "Who wants to listen to Amy's recycled emotional BS?" Again, this is not about.
It's not about what
she would do at all. It's just like this is what I said to Stilly yesterday. I'm like, you're a young parent, and I remember that my dad gave me the advice when I was a young parent, like, just try to, like, show up is a huge thing. And I know, you know, this is, you know, trying to parallel these things is a stretch. But the point is, just show up at things. You can get to things, get to school plays, get to all that stuff. Like, it means a lot to just be there. This is a bit, what, like it or not, these are eras that start, right? When you hire a coach, when you hire a GM, the Titans eras are year-long eras lately. But I mean, these are moments in the franchise history where I've never heard of an owner not being at something like this. I'm sure someone can come up with an example. I'm here for it. Let me know. Give me your examples. I think it's bizarre. And
don't give us the Predators as a counterexample. It's not the same thing.
Well, right. That's been at times infuriating too. When you're trying to figure out what ownership thinks about the GM in particular, when David Poyle, late in his tenure, and there was, Sean Henry was empowered to speak for ownership, but it is very different. Like there are a lot of differences between those two situations, the Preds and the Titans. And again, especially right now with the Titans, with what has gone on with the stadium, it does mean more to me because of that.
And she does not want to be. It's been made clear she does not want to be involved in decisions. That's why Brinker has this power. So I think we should declare yesterday the beginning of Amy Adams Strunk as an absentee owner, right? Whether she's in Nashville, whether she's in the building, whatever, she's an absentee owner. Now, let's mark it down. That's the first day of that. And maybe it works. Maybe it's great for the football team that she's not around and that she's not involved in football. We don't want her involved in football anyway, right? Hire football people and let them work. Now, can she competently hire football people?
Well, but
I mean, Jared's got a lot of crazy stuff, but he's got one good question there. What makes Chad Brinker qualified for this job? We don't get that answer from her. All the statements that she's put out, none of them were about Chad Brinker, because Chad Brinker was never, when he was hired as football ops, vice president of football ops, that was a promotion. And I don't believe there was a couple sentences about it, but there was no, this is why Chad Brinker is my guy. And I think we deserve that. And we didn't get that. And so now from our absentee owner of this team in this city, we're not expecting anything of substance from her. There's no reason to.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, like, will she stop showing up the games too? Is she
play that for her, Kate. But I don't believe Kate can get to her.
Yeah, and I know that Chad got asked that too, right? Like, why were you? And I think he said at one point, you could ask Burke. You could ask Burke about that.
He said you could ask Burke about that. He said Amy Adams Strunk's reasoning for wanting him in this position was the question. He said, I don't know if she said a reason. Hey, there's a reason to be confident. Let's put that on bumper stickers.
I mean, I do, seriously, I come away from, and I thought it was a lot of good stuff, good questions, and some interesting answers in the Brinker session. Like, there was, and of course, all the Amy stuff, what's he going to say? He can't say anything, right? But there was some level of, like, guys, I don't know why things are the way they are, but by golly, let's do the best we can do.
I'm embracing the job that she gave me. I almost felt sympathetic for him there. He was like, she didn't spell it out for me. She asked me to do this job, and I'm going to try to do this job. Well, what do you do if your boss comes to you and does that? I haven't worked in an environment with a boss in some time, but I've had some bad bosses. What do you do? You make the best of it?
A
lot of people I know who work for corporations recede from the boss as far as they can. I'm not going to say anything because it never goes well.
You want to not be noticed, right? David on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. David, what's going on? You got a thought on Amy?
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. My take on this is one of two reasons. One, either she's removed from the situation, and I highly doubt that because she knows what's going on. I think it's probably a bigger underlying issue, and I don't know if it's embarrassment because she's had to make all these decisions which have failed the last few seasons, or for whatever reason, she just can't show her face, which to me is an example of really poor leadership. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. I thought it was embarrassing. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you're embarrassed and you can't show your face, I mean, you're a billionaire owner of a football team that just got a $2.2 billion stadium that needs to sell PSLs, and you can't show your face? Come on.
It's
seek some counseling then if you've got some issue on that level.
And people making excuses too. It's just starting with Stilly just boggles my mind. Real quick on the text line, some people have mentioned. First of all, Kareem Hunt had an incident in Kansas City of allegedly pushing and kicking a woman. That's when they released him. So it was with the Chiefs. And that rings a bell. Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice, another one too. Another red flag.
There you go.
So they've.
And Tyreek Hill, I have to say allegedly because I don't know how it came out, punched a pregnant girlfriend in the stomach.
No, I mean, well, and then there was also stuff with the kid too, right?
Yeah.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg. As a fan, I couldn't care less if she speaks. I added couldn't, Ethan. You said could, but it is couldn't. Yeah. You couldn't care less if she speaks.
If you could care less, that means.
Then it means you care. I couldn't care less if she speaks because we know she stinks already. Also, I understand why she needs to be there at least. Yeah, that's, again, just Just be there.
I think it's reasonable to ask her for her to answer why she views Chad Brinker as the person.
Well, there's lots of questions that are reasonable.
Her franchise.
But I've given up on her answering questions. I've given up on
having no
presence
at this.
I'm still shocked she didn't show up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. Kenston, real fast with a draft thought, then we gotta get to break here. Kenston.
Hey, morning, guys. I'll make it quick. I don't agree that Travis Hunter is a generational talent. I think he's generational on the college level. I think there's, if you wanted a wide receiver, you can get a better one than him. If you wanted a cornerback, you can get a better one than him. I think he's probably the most overrated prospect. But I'll call in and specifically say about the quarterback thing. The bridge stuff, I mean, you look at the quarterbacks in the playoffs, I think outside of Russell Wilson, all of them drafted in the first round, all of them homegrown talent. The goal is to not be up this high again, to pick again. So I think when you're up this high, if they do the evaluation, bridge or not, you can't count on them to be a long-term situation. You have to go get your quarterback with your number one pick. You can't come out of this draft without a high-end quarterback for the future of the franchise and for the future of Brian Callahan. Thanks, guys.
A lot of high picks. Thanks. Don't pan out, buddy. I mean, those are first-round picks who worked. A lot of teams not in the playoffs with first-round picks who failed. More of them.
If you go in and say, well, I would just have to have the quarterback, you're screwed. And teams
– let Cleveland teams, do it. Let the Giants
right,
do it.
Teams have moved up when they weren't at the top to get to the top to get the quarterback. That also can happen. But when we come back, best and worst in sports, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of week again, best and worst in sports. Robbie usually introduces this and lets me go first. I guess since I'm introducing this, I guess I let Nick, you go first.
Okay, well, you could have gone first yourself. I'll make it quick. Best in sports, easily, Preds. Coming back, scoring 6 unanswered goals. First time in franchise history they've had any kind of comeback like that. Kind of crazy to think about. They had 173 other instances where they were down by that many and could not come back. So, thought that was pretty crazy. Being part of that, I thought that game was over in the first period. Joe, we talked about that yesterday morning. But worst in sports is a stat that stayed with me after the crazy weekend of football that we had. The Texans were the first team in NFL postseason history to outgain their opponent by 100 yards, have 0 turnovers, and lose.
That is interesting.
So
it's the AFC South for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the teams that – now, that's the anomaly, not the abnormally. That's the anomaly because the other teams all the losers outgained – the winners, and significantly in a couple cases, but the turnovers made the difference. PK, your best and worst in sports.
My best, Mike Vrabel, our friend. 3 new coordinators, not recyclees. Josh McDaniels, you can say what you will about him. He's not going to leave because he's got nowhere to go because nobody's going to hire him as a head coach. And he's had success as a coordinator. Tom Brady not in the picture, but could have done a lot worse. I thought he might do a lot worse. Terrell Williams, don't know how he's going to be as a coordinator, but we know he was a good coach.
Super excited for that guy.
And
super excited for Terrell
most
Williams.
Excited of all, Jeremy Springer, retained as the special teams coach. Lucky Craig you. Aukerman may be in the running as a junior assistant, the way Colt Anderson may be here. But he is not going to be the special teams coordinator in New England. Mike Vrabel, so far, not blowing it with his staff.
Your Aukerman hate is just still flows through you.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ryan Stonehouse with a functional leg. Forgive me.
All right, you're worse in sports?
Mark Andrews. I mean, you know, you always say, well, one play didn't lose the game. One guy didn't. Yeah. That dropping the 2-point conversion prevented you from winning the game. You're in overtime if he catches a ball that hits him in the hands and could have been pulled into the belly. And that's not the only terrible play he made. He had a terrible game at the wrong time.
Oh, but yeah, by the way, it was 24-19. They're driving. Lamar's zipping all over the field. They got a first down over the middle of the field to go up in the game, and he gets it punched out. Yeah. Disastrous. My best in sports, I'm going Ryan Day. And actually, it's funny because I was going to bring up that may be. But I will say, you talk about someone who has redeemed himself as a coach and who completely flipped a fan base around like everybody wanted him fired 6 weeks earlier. And now he's one of those. I mean, he's in with the Ohio State legendary coaches.
How many years extension will he get? 15?
That's a good question. Now, here's another thing. Did you notice that Mike Vrabel waited until Tuesday to hire Josh McDaniels?
No.
Okay. Well, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that because he had some stuff coming from the Raiders?
Oh no. I think that Ryan Day as the New England Patriots OC was a real possibility. And again, I could have made the case for him to do it just because you can fast track yourself to a head coaching job. Then you're going to take a pay cut at first, right? But to leave on your own accord and be like, thanks, drop the mic, Ohio State fans, it didn't happen. But good for Ryan Day. My worst, I'm sticking with what we've been talking about. Amy Adams-Strunk not showing up to the press conference. I don't want to make too big a deal out of this. It's not the end of the world, but it blows my mind. It truly does. And as a texter says, Matt on the text line says, Amy expects us to show up, but she can't. That's exactly it.
Here's a good question. Does she have advisors who give her good advice that she doesn't follow? Do the sycophants not give her good advice? Well,
does Burt Nighthill say things to her or just take orders from her?
It's a good question. But there are others also in the organization who are close to her. Do they not give her advice because, you know, she's the billionaire owner and they just do what she says? Or is she not taking their advice?
That's a great question. I can't imagine that anyone over there would advise this. And I would think that anyone who felt that they could speak freely would say, oh, my God.
Does anyone feel they could speak freely?
Yeah, that is a great question. We come back. I want to get more into the Brinker side of this and that discussion, which I think was the much more interesting discussion of the two yesterday. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.